are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, Christ instituted the Lord's Supper to commemorate our deliverance from the burden of sin. I think the elder once made a point to this effect that it just kind of represents that old feast of Passover where Christ, through his angel, painted the doorposts so that they can pass over when the angel of death would come through. And so it's to deliver us from sin. Today, we want to conclude our study, our lesson on the Lord's Supper, with a look at how to prepare before we partake in this important service. We've always heard of this, and so today we want to go a bit deeper into that subject. And of course, joining us and guiding us through is Elder Peter Malate Mdala. Good afternoon and welcome once again.
Good afternoon, my Honorable.
How are you doing, sir?
God is good all the time, and you?
No, we are all right. We are all right, trusting that the Friday has been good and you're ready to rest.
Very much so.
Dala, we are looking at preparing for the Lord's Supper, and I was just telling the listeners earlier on to say we've always heard when it comes time for the Lord's Supper, Tiwanje, dear saints, 2 weeks from now is going to be the Lord's Supper, so please prepare. How does one prepare for the Lord's Supper?
A very important thing in life, everything you prepare. You have a trip going somewhere, you prepare. You go to bed, you prepare. So even the Lord's Supper, we need to prepare. The question is, how does one prepare himself for the Lord's Supper? Remember, I've given our listeners three main texts. That's 1 Corinthians 11, Matthew 26, John 13. I would like to add two more. Matthew 22, 1 to 4, it talks about the marriage of the king's son. And Revelation 19, verse 7 to 9, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Okay.
So let's deal with the question of how does one prepare? But before that, let me quickly read these few verses for contextual purposes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading verse 26 to 27, it reads thus: "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and of the blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that wine. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many are asleep." Yeah. Asleep meaning many have died because of taking for granted the Lord's body. Matthew 26, I want to read verse 29 quickly. It says, "I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the wine new with you in my Father's kingdom." The last one I would like to read quickly is John 13, 8. "Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." How do we prepare? We prepare ourselves because we are told in time that there will be a Lord's Supper, as you mentioned, in 2 weeks' time. We need to prepare ourselves. How do we do that? We try. Remember, in the Passover era, people would remove a bread with leaven in it. We'll remove everything that represented sin within the within the Jewish families. So we prepare ourselves. We make sure we don't have grudges. We make sure we come right with our neighbors. We make sure we are in good terms with our brethren. Remember yesterday we talked of the feet that gather dust as we walk in this journey from the garden to the city. So it will always be challenging, but we need not to have grudges and everything. So we need to talk to our brothers and reconcile and make sure we do not have a hatred within us. That is part of the preparation. Most brethren, they make a mistake. A person, let's say, for instance, I have a weakness of falling now and then, or maybe I don't feel like today, I'm very hurt. Then I come and say, I'm not ready to partake. That's a wrong way. That's not the unworthy part of it. The unworthy part of it is when you go to partake in the Lord's Supper, yeah. but you don't feel remorse for your sins. You just become arrogant and you become evil in everything you do. Quickly, just to justify that,
okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat with them." What is Paul saying? He's talking about people here who are arrogant. If you read verse 1 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 5, verse, he says, some of you, they even boast that they've slept with their father's wives. Mm. So it's like in a township lingo, I can say, meaning your stepmother, and be proud of it and boast of it instead of feeling ashamed of the sin that you have done. And thereafter, you dare, you go to church, you partake, you take, then that is the unworthiness. You disregard, you don't respect the body and the blood of the Lord. In so doing, hence, many get sick, many die, because they don't understand what they do. It's like crucifying Christ twice.
Is this practical? Is this literal, though? Especially the dying part, Mdala. Do we have somebody who has died because they didn't partake the Lord's Supper properly and disrespected? I'm just trying to think of dying because you ate the Lord's Supper unworthily. Is it just maybe Paul trying to use some scare tactics here for the people? Because, hey, it sounds too extreme, man.
It's the unfortunate part. Remember, these guys, Paul, they were inspired, and such things when they happen, and God does not report. You remember the two guys who disregarded God and took the holy fire, the ordinary fire,
yes,
and they died. And God will not report to some of us, like in perhaps in the Old Testament, you may see Peter getting sick and dying and all that. Only a prophet or an inspired person with him, like Paul would mention. So I believe God revealed to him that most of these people, it's because of this sin. And most people are informed, are warned, but because of a rebellion, because of arrogance, people will tell you, so what will you do? I remember a story of a brother who was rebuked for doing something wrong. And he said to the two brethren, the deacons, "Who are you to tell me? Only Gabriel will stop me to do what I'm doing."
Yo, Lord have mercy. May the Lord have mercy. That is just some level of arrogance that you're talking about there. Yeah, may God help us. That is singa figilapo. Mdala, I wanted to also inquire regarding this idea of preparation. You mentioned some things that we must make sure that are in order, seen, put away, reconciliation is done, and so forth. I've always had a challenge with that kind of an approach. Is it saying, because that's almost what is implied, that on other days, you know, especially worse, so if it was a Catholic, we could say maybe every week you must be making sure your reconciliation is done. In the Adventist context, where you do it once a quarter, and I don't know, in other churches, maybe they do it even longer than that, where, you know, you can spend 3 months with a grudge against Peter because I would then deal with it when Holy Communion comes. Is it saying there's leeway for me to not be fixing issues when there is no Holy Communion? I mean, that's what I'm hearing. If you only need to then say, hey, communion is coming, guys, let me put my house in order.
In that way, we become hypocrites, because remember, in whatever you do, you grow. So if you are used to this, you end up becoming that. Let's mention Judas. Many people, we didn't realize that Judas was a thief long time ago until it was revealed in John chapter 12 that he used to help himself with the money back. Mm-hmm. But from time immemorial, you remember when the lady came with the alabaster ointment and perfume for Jesus' feet, there was a complaint. When you read it thoroughly, you find that Judas, not because he was worried about the poor, but because he was a thief, he had used to help himself.
Yeah.
He saw an opportunity. Yeah. So you end up not seeing it as sin because you grow in it. So sin no longer becomes sin to you. So once you are going to beg grudges and say, no, I will clean in 3 months' time or in a year's time or every week, because others, they partake every week, then you end up not being sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So you ignore the Holy Spirit. Then that sin of yours automatically it becomes the unpardonable sin because you harden your heart.
May God have mercy. Let's be in the habit of always making sure things are in order. Is it a sin to choose to skip? Maybe, which I've seen, and maybe in this one, help me as well, Dala. I'm going to ask a two-pronged question. I remember the one time we were at our church, we had Holy Communion, and then we traveled for some function in another district, and we then found they were having Holy Communion. Again, we were asking ourselves, hey, should we eat now? Should we eat? You know, we just found it there. And maybe I am just visiting in this church, they're having Holy Communion, and I'm thinking, okay, now I'm just going to eat. Is it a sin to not partake and just say, oh, no, thank you, not today?
Maybe let's start by definition. What is sin? 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law.
Okay.
And what about the Holy Communion? Is it a suggestion, a proposal, or is it a command by the Lord?
He said, do this in remembrance of me.
Yes, do this always in remembrance of me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, I suggest. He doesn't say. So it's a command. And remember, the verses that I've read them intentionally.
Okay.
In Matthew 26, that's where he said, I will no longer eat this vine, but I'll eat it ready in my Father's kingdom
with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and do this in remembrance of me. Always when you do this, you proclaim my death till I come. So if now you skip proclaiming his death till he comes, which part are you playing? You still remember Peter said to him, no, not the feet only, hands and head.
Yeah.
Jesus says, no, the one that is cleansed. And if you say, I don't do it, you don't have part with me. So it's always dangerous to postpone. The reasons why people should not partake, it's not because I get there. Remember, I'm a Christian, I'm washed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if I come and visit your church, Elder Derek, and you are eating the Lord's Supper, I partake because I am washed. That is true baptism. Then I can come and partake. But if I do not want to partake, because many people think that because of the dust that we have every day, remember the purpose is to remove the dust, which is the daily trip, the daily sins that we do.
Yeah.
That becomes an opportunity to be cleansed.
Mm,
so if you
leave
that opportunity passed by, woe unto you.
Yeah, that's an important subject. That's, you know, this idea of choosing to skip. Maybe before I let you go, and I've seen a comment coming through from our listeners on the line here. Mdala, do the deacons ever write then to say when they see us there standing around or sitting down and not going out to wash, do they ever write the deacons, the elders, to say, hey, my brother, Babu Malate, you haven't washed, come, let's wash, what's the problem, why are you not washing, and I want to inquire and so forth. Do they ever write to do that, or it's a personal thing between me and Christ?
It's a personal thing, but as a brother, if I see you don't, I may try to encourage you, but not to enforce.
Yeah,
but just to motivate and say, no, brother, come. If like you are open, like as we are talking, me and you now, and you say to me, hey, brother Peter, I can't because, you know, yesterday I didn't sleep home. And I pull you aside. I realize because many people think because of that,
they can't
not
partake. Yeah.
They do got a favor or they respect God. No, that's not the case. Remember, the reason why you should not partake, it is because when you are rebellious.
Mm.
But Paul says in Romans 5, in Romans chapter 7, I think it's verse 15, he says, when I want to do good, I find myself doing that when I want to do this.
Mm.
And he shows that he ends up saying, it is not me, but the sin that is in me. I think verse 24, he said, oh, a wretched man I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. So it is Jesus that we need to go to and confess. And whatever wrong we've done, you fall 10 times, my brother rise 10 times. The journey is too long
Amen.
To the city.
And the beauty is the Bible says that person falling is still a righteous man, even if he's fallen like that, right? He's still considered by the scriptures righteous. So definitely you have no...
Uh-huh. The reason you fall is because there is an opposer who doesn't want you to stand.
Yeah.
So you are not falling because you plan to fall. My children, I write it to you this. If you sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Yeah, but I write to you that you sin not. I like that. But if the state of falling means you're upstanding, and only people who are standing can fall. Those who are lying down don't fall. You might roll, but you're definitely not falling. Mdala, we've got a comment here, and I think we're going to close off with this one. Thank you so much. Wonderful lesson we've had. The question says here, so should we do the Lord's Supper daily to show that we remember? I mean, it says as often as you do this. There was no given any frequency to say, no, don't do it every day because it's going to become light in your eyes. It says as many times as possible. Here they're saying, can we then do it every day? Maybe even someone, Mdala, is wondering, can we do this at my house, Nje? Every day we are communing so that we show that Ayi Bazalwane, we are truly remembering and proclaiming his death until he comes.
I remember we had once that debate that we never came up with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
But the statement that say as often as you do it, it's not. But if you trace it back, they used to do it once per annum. You remember the Passover? It used to be once per annum. But as often as you do, as you mentioned with us Seventh-day Adventists, mm-hmm. we do it quarterly. Other people will do it maybe twice a month or twice, but it will be going to the extreme. If we are going to do it every day, it may even lose its dignity.
Mm. Hey, now you open up a can of worms. I was about to close. Are you implying, my elder, that the Passover and the Lord's Supper are the same thing?
Remember, Passover was the Lord's Supper was the fulfillment of the Passover. Because the Passover was pointing to the lamb that was coming, the blood that was smeared on the doorpost.
Then
it pointed to the blood.
No, Dara, then the Lord's Supper is not the fulfillment. The fulfillment is the death of Christ. But the Lord's Supper is a pointer to remember the death of Christ, not the fulfillment per se of this Passover, is it not?
You are correct.
Uh-huh.
You are correct. But the blood there was pointing, yes, to the crucifixion of Christ.
Yeah,
but remember, before they eat that, they had to eat the flesh. And that flesh represented the body of Jesus Christ. Because it was of the blemishless lamb that they had to take and separate it for 14 days, if I remember well.
Okay.
One other thing, sorry, that we take time. We were to talk also, what about children? Should they partake?
I think we covered this one. You answered, if I'm not mistaken, this one here. I think it was on Wednesday regarding children and their presence there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember we covered that. Thanks, my brother.
No, thank you, Dad. Listeners are wanting to be on fire now. They're asking about the elements themselves to say, does it really matter what it is? We hear the scripture speaking about unleavened bread and wine. Today we have biscuits. Some even go there and buy those Piot's biscuits and grape juice, apple ties and monies and whatnot. Does it matter? Or we want wine and we want baked bread without leaven. Does it matter? Some even want to go as far as saying it's a supper, it must be happening at night. Why are we doing it in the morning?
Maybe let's not go to the extreme saying too, because remember, we are doing it others are doing it at night. It's a supper, doing it in the evening. And with us, we prefer doing it during, before divine, isn't it?
Okay.
We're doing it points to the same thing. But with me, I wouldn't like to dwell much on that as if now I'm going to restrict people without having a text to support that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as long as it does not have a yeast and all that, because remember, all these things were symbol. If we go there, we'd need to go back to and find out what type of bread were they using. Because when you talk of wine, I was reading somewhere saying in their area during that period, a wine was not a fresh wine because it was not the time of ripened grapes. But it's for another day, those
that
ones.
Conversation,
if
right?
If we go to Metacritis, then we might end up saying, guys, let's close shop. Let's stop all this. Because remember, these were symbols. These were emblems. So as long as we do it within the parameters, let's not maybe put deep restrictions.
I hear you. I think the principle is what's key. No yeast, and like you're saying here, fruit of the vine. I think if you've got those two, you are in order. Thank you so much, Mdala. I really appreciate you for the lesson this week. Until we chat again next time, God bless you. Have yourself a great day further and a beautiful Sabbath.
Thank you, sir. It was a great honor to be with you.
Amen and amen.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.